Well, good morning, Horizon, and those who are tuning in. I want to say thank you for joining us and starting off your week with us. We are so glad you're here. If we have not met, my name is Jason Schultz. I'm one of the associate pastors. I know most of you know who I am, but maybe you're tuning in from somewhere other than Horizon, the church fellowship here. And so I invited you to come and watch, and we are so glad that you're joining us as well. So before we dive into his word, let's open in a word of prayer. So please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and Lord, that we can start our day, Lord, through this means, through this format. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint your word, that you'd wake us up, Lord, that you would revive us. Lord, we do call out to you, Lord, as you invite us to abide in you and abide in your word, Lord, that you would bless this time today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, today, you know, if you have any prayer requests or any needs we want to say, please share those within the chat right now, or you can even call the church office and speak to the pastor on call, or call any one of the pastors. We'd be glad to pray with you and serve you in any way we can during these challenging days. So as Tracy Gray shared on Friday, he shared about that one thing, that one thing, you know, that we seek after, and that is a love relationship with the Lord. And then Paul Lang shared on Saturday about the promises in God's word, how you know, we are to mine out those promises and appropriate them, to apply them to our personal lives. And as we do so, they're a great anchor for the soul. And one of my life verses that I want to share with you starting off today is out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That when we seek the Lord first, we seek his kingdom, his will, and his righteousness, that he promises to meet all of our needs. He promises that he will add the things to our lives that he sees are good and right in his perfect timing. And we can trust him for that. We can really believe him for that promise, that when we seek him first, he'll add all the things that we need to our lives, that we don't have to panic or worry, but that he is good and a faithful provider to us. So I want to share with you today about the importance of abiding in his word. And what does it mean to abide in his word? If you have your Bibles, or if you're taking notes, which is a good thing either way, maybe if you have a Bible somewhere, go and run and find that. And turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 31. So John chapter 8, verse 31. And it says this, "And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" A part of being a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ here is, Jesus says, is abiding in his word. That has the idea of being in the word daily, being in the word regularly, but also abiding in the teachings and the doctrines of the Lord and of his word. And making that the anchor for our soul, the place that we abide, that we remain, that we stay, that we dwell within. And how important that is for us as a fellowship and for us as believers during these challenging times. Probably a week does not go by that you do not hear Bill or one of the other pastors encouraging you to be in the Word. But sometimes we assume, oh, well, everyone knows why we are to be in the Word. We assume, oh, well, everyone knows the reasons why, that we are to study God's word and memorize it and to apply it to our lives. And today, sometimes I don't want to assume that we all know that. There could be people watching today that this could be all new to you. And maybe you're tuning in and you're learning for the first time some of these truths of Scripture. So I want us to turn to the book of Psalms. If you turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. I know for me personally, when I myself or my family has gone through challenging times, I find great comfort in just reading through the book of Psalms. Just reading through his word, through the Psalms especially, that there's great comfort there. Today, if you're anxious or stressed or worried, or even if you're unsure and you're finding your new normal as a family or as an individual, I'd encourage you just to read through the book of Psalms. I remember a real hard time in my family's life when my dad came down with cancer. And he, you know, we really didn't know what was going to happen in his life and within our family. That the Lord put on his heart to read through the book of Psalms. And he did, faithfully. And we did so as a family. I remember sitting beside his hospital bed while he was going through chemo treatment and radiation. And we just read through the book of Psalms together. And it was such a comfort to us, such a strength. And so we're going to look at Psalm chapter 19. And in verses 1 through 6, we see the general revelation of the Lord. We see how God reveals himself through creation, through the sun, the moon, the order, the structure, the complexity of this creation. We see that God reveals himself, that he exists, and that he is good, and that he is present. And then we see in verses 7 through 11, we see that God reveals himself even more so through his written word. And that's what I want to focus on today, is starting in verse 7 of Psalm 19. And it says this. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, thee than much fine gold. Sweeter also in honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Oh, this is so good. I love this psalm. I mean, there's so much here. Each word in the Hebrew, if you have time to study it, is to take time today or sometime this week and just study through this psalm. It is so rich. There's so much there to mine out and to understand. It is so good. We see here in verses 7 through 11 several descriptions of God's word, and it's called the law of God. We see that God's word is referred to as the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord. We see here that God's word is referred to as the fear of the Lord. All these are references to the Bible itself. And then we see what God's word is. God's word is perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's pure. It's clean. That God's word is true and righteous altogether. It's more precious and valuable than gold, than fine gold. And that it's sweeter than honey. What else has that kind of description here on this earth right now? What else can we say is emphatically all the time, that all the time that it is perfect or sure or right or true and righteous altogether? It's only God's word. Because God's word is in line with his character. That God's word is perfect and holy. They really are the holy scriptures, just like God is. And then we see here a short list of the reasons why we are to abide in his word. That during the good times and the hard times of life, to have that staple of abiding and remaining close to the Lord by being in his word, we have a list here. God's word, what is God's word? What does it do in our lives? Here, right here in verse 7, it's perfect for converting the soul. The word here for converting can also be translated reviving. In the original Hebrew, it has the idea of giving new life, bringing vitality to that which is dry or dead or even worn out. That God's word is perfect converting the soul, or perfect for reviving the soul. And then it's sure to make wise the simple. And those who are simple-minded and maybe who don't have wisdom, God's word promises to give us wisdom. Right here it says, rejoicing the heart, that God's word can rejoice our hearts, can give us joy. Today, if you're struggling with anxiety or you know, maybe this time at home alone has been challenging for you, and you're not full of joy and full of life, full of rejoicing in your hearts, God's word can give that to you as you abide in him and his word. God's word, says here, enlightens the eyes. It can enlighten our eyes. It can shine light into the darkness of our own soul or even the darkness of the world around us. It endures forever. That's so beautiful. I love that God's word is steadfast. And here we see that it is more valuable than gold, than fine gold. And it's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. You know that God's word is sweeter than anything else. Back in this day, they didn't have chocolate per se. They didn't have sweet and low or refined sugars. You know, the sweetest thing that they knew was honey. And here David, the psalmist, is saying that God's word is sweeter than the sweetest thing that I know to my taste buds, that God's word is sweeter still. Is that your heart towards the word of God? Is that how you see the word of God in your life? And if it is, that's awesome. And if it's not, then ask the Lord, God, give me an appetite, a hunger, a thirst for your word, that I would long for your word in my life. This is a short list here of some of the reasons why we are to abide in his word and be in his word. If you want a longer list of this, then you can go to Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, and that there gives you a whole list of various reasons why we are to be in the word. And then I love how here in the last verse of Psalm 19, David ends it so well. It's so beautiful. In verse 14, it says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I think David reflects on the purity of God, the holiness of God, and his word, and he cries out and says, "Lord, O Lord, please, let the words of my mouth, the things that I say, and the things that I meditate on in my heart and my mind, let those be acceptable in your sight." It's a prayer. It's saying, "Lord, would you allow everything I say and everything I think and do to be pure and acceptable before you?" And he cries out and says, "Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer." How beautiful that is. The word here for Lord is Yahweh, the covenant God, the God of love who made a love covenant with the people of Israel. And he says, "Hey, covenant God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer." The word here for strength also can be translated or understood as rock, that he is our rock of refuge. He is our mighty fortress that we can run to. He is our hiding place. And as we run to him, and we run to him by being in his word, that he brings comforts to our heart. And last thing here, he says, "My redeemer." The word here for redeemer in the Hebrew is the great Greek word for kinsman redeemer. It's what we see out of the book of Ruth. When Boaz redeems Ruth and Naomi, they are in bankruptcy. They are in destitute. They don't know what's going to happen to them. And he, out of his kindness and out of his love for Ruth, he redeems Ruth and Naomi. And that's what David here, he looks to the Lord as his kinsman redeemer. And we can look to the Lord the same way as our kinsman redeemer, the one who buys us back, the one who redeems us from all of life's hardships and troubles and struggles. And so today, if you're listening and you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you know, if you were to come down with this virus or to get sick, you don't know personally where you would go, that you would spend eternity with the Lord, I would encourage you to begin to read his word. Read the Bible. You can start off with the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Matthew and start reading through the life of Jesus and cry out to him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and trust him as your Lord and Savior. And today, if you're already a believer and you're assured, you are 100% sure that when you leave this earth that you will be present with the Lord for all eternity, then I would encourage you not only to abide in the word yourself, but then also to reach out to others. It could be family members, friends, neighbors, co-workers, people who don't know the Lord. And this could be a time when they're listening, that they're more open to the things of the Lord and spiritual truth like never before. And to reach out to them, to take time to call them or to text them and see if they're willing to hear and listen to the gospel truth right now. So I want to encourage you all just to continue, just to press into the Lord, to redeem this time. You know, I've been asking myself personally with just finding the new normal of life right now, how do I redeem this time? Because the days are evil, but God is good. And just surrendered, I've been waking up every morning and just surrendering my day to the Lord. Lord, how do you want this day to go? What do you want me doing? And how do you want to use my life for your glory here on earth and the furtherance of your kingdom? And I encourage all of us to do the same. and that way he can redeem this time and use it for his glory here on earth and in the lives of others as well. So so continue to tune in on at 10 a.m. Every day, is it Monday through Saturday. This coming Wednesday night, we're going to have a time of prayer here through Facebook Live. And so if you have prayer requests, you can send those into the church. You can go to our website, and there's a place there you can say, it says, you know, send in prayer requests. You can do that there, or you can even share your prayer requests that night of. But please join us on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for a time of prayer. So let's close in a word of prayer. Please join me. Lord, we thank you for all the amazing things that your word is and does in our lives, Lord. That it does bring rejoicing in our hearts, Lord. That is perfect for converting the soul, for reviving the soul. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd show each one of us how to redeem this time, to buy it back, and to use it for your glory and for your purposes in our lives and the lives of others, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your word and for your promises that you've given us and how your word works and ministers in our lives. So, Lord, just go before us this day and bless it. And we pray this all in the wonderful, perfect name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.